Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Hannah.
And simply put, we review cookbooks. We take one book for each episode and both cook a couple of dishes, then discuss what we liked, more likely what we didn't like, and give it a rating out of 5. Like all the best recipes, it's pretty simple.
And if you love what we do, we're now on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help cover the podcast costs from the books themselves, the ingredients of what we cook, and in return you'll get some fun stuff. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now for the podcast.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Victoria. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wow. don't bowl me over with your enthusiasm.
I'm, as you know, on my second day of a hangover, thanks to seeing you 2 days ago.
You know what? We've never really drank together, really, have we? So that was a first, but we'll never do it again.
Yeah, and what we've learned is we will never do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because I guess we met in, like, autumn 2019, yeah. And then the pandemic happened.
It's mostly a virtual friendship, really, if you think about it.
And I guess we should keep it that way.
But yeah, on the road to recovery, I hope.
Yes, yes. It's Saturday, and I'm going to find some... I had a bit of a disaster with my hangover meal of McDonald's, as is the world's
hangover meal.
Hangover
and drunk
meal,
you know, they get 2 days
and
out of you. It's
meal.
Great.
Yeah. We, dear listener, got home so late that night that we could not get any food. Food open.
No.
we went to bed hungry for 2 hours before we had to get up again.
And then I woke up and I was like, I'm starving. And you were like, I can't eat.
Like, I'm going to throw up. So we're great, dear listener. Anyway, yeah, there was no chips included in my McDonald's that I ordered. And
so
that, honestly, McDonald's do better. Like, some of it, I could have died. Without that salt. And
I've like, lesser things have made me cry on a hangover. Like, that would absolutely break me.
Anyway,
yeah,
how's your life? What are you up to? tell us. Lift our spirits, please, Hannah.
Well, you know, life's good.
Not with spirits.
No. Oh, had a lovely walk this morning. My little doggy's lying here beside me, between me and the laptop. Because
what a wholesome life.
Well, yeah, if you take Thursday night out of the equation, things are good. I had a birthday since we last recorded.
Yes,
didn't
you did.
Vic is getting shots of dog's legs as he stretches.
He's trying to knock over the thing.
He is.
Yes, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Vic got me a very beautiful Nordic wear loaf pan thing that will be appearing on our Instagram soon, I'm sure. Yeah, I'll just be looking for, like, a loaf cake to make now and the next one.
I just feel like Hannah, you know, the reason I got it for Hannah is that she makes, obviously, a lot of cakes for her friends and for various dinner parties and stuff. And I thought, you know what, sometimes you probably want to just make a loaf cake, but don't think it's fancy enough.
Yeah.
And I thought, what if you've got a loaf tin that makes any loaf cake look fancy?
Genius.
And then you can just, you know, make a banana bread,
yeah,
but make it fancy.
Take banana bread, but make it fashion. Also, I like, yeah, that at this camera angle, you can now see that my jeans are completely undone. Due to the vast amounts of hangover food that I consumed yesterday.
We're doing well, guys. The fact that you've got jeans on is I'm in my pyjamas still.
Anyway, what I wanted to, you know, if this was a debate, and it is, let's be frank, this is the whole
okay,
premise of this podcast is...
Go and put my blazer on. Debate-a-tron.
The season is fall.
It is.
The time,
in October.
The time is now. And I am continuously confused by the presence of pumpkin spice latte in our lives. I just don't get it. So the other day I was in buying like cleaning products and saw that Flash, the floor cleaner, had a PSL flavor. Why on earth would you want your floors to smell like pumpkin spice latte? Why
wouldn't you?
I want it to smell clean and clinical, like I've just murdered
you
someone.
You want it to smell like you just like your kitchen smell like a hospital. Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah, because hospital equals cleanliness, godliness and cleanliness. I don't want it to smell like sweets, you know. I bet that's just be a really sweet thing. But anyway, I'm not the only one that's confused, apparently, because there was an article in The Guardian recently about it. Actually, a couple of weeks ago now. I'm probably a bit late with this. But there was like, it says, the title is Dog Treats Deodorant Spam. Why does America sell 138,000 pumpkin spice things?
Spam!
So, as well as bone broth protein deodorant poppers. Poppers.
That's not one thing. It's not a bone broth deodorant popper. They're all
when we say poppers, do we mean drugs?
No, I think that they mean like a jalapeno popper.
Okay.
I mean maybe, but
I've been watching too much industry.
Yeah.
Apparently, they say that the pumpkin spice product sales have increased about 47% in the last 5 years. Worth like $236 million in sales of pumpkin spice latte things. And then it's got this piece has got like a state-by-state diagram of which states like more pumpkin spice. Can you guess which states like pumpkin spice?
Yeah, I can. I think it's probably your like Midwestern,
uh-huh,
like your... Oh my God, this is bad.
Test your geography.
Ohio, and you're like...
Ohio, 60%.
Chicago. Like, that's not a state.
Illinois is Chicago, isn't it?
Ohio
is 60% more likely to purchase pumpkin choice spice compared to the national average. It's a great actual interactive thing. Illinois, only 6%, actually, you're wrong.
Oh.
The West Virginia is 122% more likely. Yeah, it's real,
wow,
real East Coast. California is not looking at that shit at all. It's 34% less.
It's because they don't have a fall, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't have an autumn. So they don't have any seasons because they're just in a constant drought.
Apparently, also, sorry, I'm just reading this article to you, but I'm just amazed, and I need to ask you if you are on the PSL, you know, train at all. But apparently there wasn't even any pumpkin in the syrup until like 2015. And then they switched Starbucks. Of course, I mean, I haven't mentioned Starbucks, but they are the people who have created this monster, this massive spicy, yeah, orange monster. And in 2015, they actually switched to a flavor syrup that contained pumpkin. It's just wild to me. I just don't understand. It's a big Gen Z thing. What is it? Do you like pumpkin spice latte? Are you a PSL drinker?
I'm not a PSL drinker. I do like it, though. Here's my problem with PSL and like all Starbucks drinks generally. They're too sweet.
Yeah.
It's not worth my teeth health and my, like, you know,
just like my blood sugar to drink a pumpkin spice latte. This dog is just stretching himself. You guys could watch this. Every like few minutes, this is like little like arch of feet. Two little doggy feet.
He's asleep on his back, belly up.
Yeah, it's too sweet, and they for some reason won't bring a sugar-free one out, which I, if they did, they would take all of my money, because I do like it. Yeah,
but this is the thing, of course it needs the sugar because it doesn't resemble pumpkin in any way. Like, so it's some part of that article basically asked people, like, because they're saying, why isn't it like apples or pears, because you would more naturally associate them with autumn than pumpkin. But like, loads of people haven't even tried pumpkin in its like natural state. They just I think the Americans like associate it with pumpkin pie as well, right? Which is fair.
Yeah, that's what it is, right? It's like it's the spices you put in a pumpkin pie.
Yes, that is it.
There's like nutmeg, warming, nice,
and, yeah, cinnamon and
cumin,
stuff like that.
I get, which I think it's fine. It didn't have any pumpkin in it. Frank, I'm gonna stick up for Starbucks here. Okay. And say I think it's fine that it don't have any pumpkin in it, because it wasn't about, I don't want pumpkin really in my coffee, to be honest. But either way, it's fine. But yeah, I do like it. I do think it's gone too far, particularly in America. I saw a TikTok the other day of a woman, an American woman, going to Trader Joe's and just buying all the fall stuff, and like the amount of pumpkin spice or pumpkin stuff that she bought was just insane. Like you say, like dog treats and bone broth. I mean, there's no bones in a pumpkin as far as I'm aware. But I also really like, as we know, I love squash, I love pumpkin.
Yeah.
So this season for me is like heaven, because you get pumpkin. I mean, not carving pumpkins, because, you know, don't ever cook with those. They taste
no,
like
absolute ass.
But then also, you know, I did see this other TikTok about a guy who'd like his carving pumpkin, he'd like put it in his compost or in his garden, right, to decompose.
Yeah.
And this year his whole garden is a pumpkin patch.
Oh my God.
Because they just grow so easily.
He can now turn it into like an influencer photo shoot area.
Yes. You're like, yeah. Christian girl autumn aesthetic, which like I feel yeah, like at heart, I'm a basic bitch.
Mm. What is that terrible TV show that you love?
Look, don't call me out on my comfort shows. It's called Chesapeake Shores. And yeah, you better believe that they probably have some Christian girl autumn pumpkin spice latte or something there, because it's like, it's in like Maine or, you know, somewhere in like New England.
Yeah, let me tell you what the percentage of people in Maine is.
I feel like I should check where it is. I feel like it's somewhere up there. It's a real place, I think, for like Chesapeake.
Vic continuously sends me, you know, little videos of that TV show, because they have a lot of Irish family.
Oh, Virginia, sorry.
Oh, Maine, actually. Not a big PSL fan. 24% less likely to purchase.
Maybe it's because it's full of like older people. I imagine Maine is full of like older people in the winter, right? I imagine in the summer it's full of,
yeah,
I don't know, rich New Yorkers. Rich youngers. Wow. But no, I do like it, and I would have bought that flash probably. I buy some winter spiced anti-back spray by I don't know what brand the other day, because it was £1. Yeah, I did. I love all that shit, like the candles
like
and everything.
I don't like it.
So
I don't like things that smell like food, you know, in your home, like candles is okay, but like cleaning products and stuff like that, it's just like fake smell. Anyway, I'm glad we cleared this
up. But what about like citrusy smells? That's
citrus,
like a cleaning
okay
smell.
Yeah, that's okay, but again, it's just like, does it even smell like lemons? No. Yeah. It doesn't. It's so fake that it's just like its own entity. Anyway, but
let us know how you feel about pumpkin spice. Yeah, I'm going to go and get a pumpkin spice latte today. my friend Stu actually spent last year or the year before, 1 year anyway, he's really into like making like great like coffees, got a fancy coffee machine and everything. He spent ages like making this pumpkin spice syrup, like a perfect one.
Oh, no way.
That was really lovely, and I'm pretty sure I tried it, and it was really good. He was like watching all these videos and like perfecting it, and like I gotta respect that. And also our favorite food writer, or one of them, Alicia Kennedy.
Oh yes,
he has a pumpkin pie spice that you can buy. Like she sold in stores, right? And people rave about that.
Wow. Yeah, maybe it's because I like my coffee quite like bitter. Because I'm, you know, maybe I'm just a bitter.
No, I bitter do as well, also. Generally, but, you know.
Yeah, I used to like the gingerbread lattes from Starbucks. I was on board with them. Particularly when I lived in Spain for a bit, and it was like the most, you can get beautiful like cafe con leche for like €1.20 or something. But no, I'd like
go to Starbucks,
do all that in Starbucks at Christmas and treat myself to like a €4.75 tiny gingerbread latte. Yeah.
But you've got to do what you've got to do. It's like
life's hard.
It just makes you feel, if it makes true. You feel Christmassy and nice, then why the hell not?
But
treat yourself, be a basic bitch, live your best life.
Don't drink.
We aren't here to judge you.
Don't drink, kids. Don't drink. It's not worth it.
Too much champagne or whatever else we were drinking.
Anyway.
We should ever do a drinks book on this pod.
How fun would that be? Yes. Do they exist?
Because I thought we were yes, because we were in a bar the other night. I think Hannah was playing the piano at this point. There's a point in the night where there was a piano. Or at least you were trying to stop some other people playing the piano.
Yes, that was it.
We had malicious intent. But there, we were in that bar, and they had this stack of like books, and I wanted to show you because one of them was called The Imbible.
Oh, that is genius.
And I was like, that's clever.
That is really clever.
Yeah.
I would like to do a drinks book.
Yeah, we should do a little mini soda or something.
A mini soda. But that's not the book.
But
that is not the books.
20 minutes about pumpkins and imbibles. That is not the books.
Books. We're talking about today.
We is.
No. Au contraire.
We are talking about Miss Rukmini Iyer. And she's many books.
many books.
Rukmini.
Master of many.
Does she have any mini books? Yeah. They are quite mini though, actually, aren't they? They're all the same size.
Yeah, very
cute. And they're not big.
You're going to get some real intellectual shit from us today.
Herein ends the podcast.
Wow. Oh, you come here for the pumpkin shout, stay for the intelligence.
Stay for the clever tea. Yes, they are like, they're smaller than your average A4 sized cookbook.
This is true.
I don't know. I recently learnt that in America, they don't have A4 size paper. It's a different size.
See, that shit like that really pisses me off. Why are we making...
Sad home American listeners.
Sorry. No, it could be us either. We don't know who did it first. But just like, why are we making life difficult for ourselves? It's the same with, you know, kilometres and miles and everything. Let's just stick to one. Vic has got like... She's resting her head on her hand looking at me being like, oh god.
No, I'm just tired. But no, I agree. But anyway, so they're not A4 size, whatever size that is in America. I don't know. And I'm not going to find out because I don't have time. do you want me to tell you a little bit about these books and
yes.
Rukmini?
Rukmini, tell me. Tell me.
Well, I'm saying that. I'm like, can I tell you about her? But her internet presence is very professional.
Ooh, can't relate.
Yeah, nor I. You know, check out my personal Instagram for a picture of me eating a lamb chop the other night. It's a great picture, actually.
That is a great picture. I'm sad that I didn't take it. we'll put it on our Instagram so everyone else can enjoy it too. Just eat the lamb chop by the bone. What are you, desperate dad?
No, I am not. That was how they were served at the VIP reception that I was invited to.
I'm just bitter because I wasn't invited to that bit.
Yes, very professional internet presence. So there's not actually much about her and her life, which, you know, is absolutely fine. Okay. But it just makes life harder for me. You know,
what about me?
What about me? What about my reading Wikipedia on this podcast? I'm sick of it. Anyway, so I did find out she's a former lawyer.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Which I just love it when people have a past life, you know, these chefs.
Me too.
What kind of lawyer were you, Rukmini? What kind of lawyer? What do you guess?
In terms of what type of lawyer she was. The corporate kind?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know many class of lawyer.
Let's move this along.
Family law, maybe? trademark?
You're now listening to a law podcast, and we'll be talking about the legal definition for shit banter. So she lives in London, as Hannah knows. She grew up in Cambridge.
Are you alluding to our friendship?
Not our friend, not mine and your friend.
No, mine and Rukmini. Yeah, I mean, I really am ticking all the boxes of having met a lot of these chefs by now, right?
You are.
Yeah. And I think full disclosure that Rukmini and I are now dear, dear friends because I accosted her in the park. No, we were walking. I was walking my... I don't know if I mentioned I got a dog. Here he is stretching up his paws. Again, he just stretched up his paws. And in Crystal Palace. And got talking.
Do you want to tell us your exact address? Or... and Rukmini's? And when are you going out next?
I'll just give everyone my mobile number and you can find out that way. So yeah, and got talking to this very lovely person who was also walking their dog, and it turned out to be Rukmini, so I recognised her and said hello. And now
the rest
is
history.
Yeah, she's gonna be maid of honour at my imaginary wedding.
On this podcast.
Anyway, enough about our dear, dear friendship.
Yes. So she's in London, but she grew up in Cambridge. She has Indian parents, and so she talks about, or you know, at least what I could find, talks about how she's has Bengali and South Indian influences on her food, but also she grew up in the 80s, so she, that kind of like mac and cheese, steamed pudding, like,
yes,
you know, real comfort food from the 80s kind of vibes as well. I love that. Cheese and pineapple on a stick, all that stuff.
I like cheese, a steamed pudding. Hedgehogs.
Do you?
Yeah, with a sauce. You know, warm and comfortable. I'm so sorry. Comforting. Yeah, I like them. My mum really likes them, so I think I have a nice association with
that's
that.
Nice.
I made her one before. They're not easy to make, though. They're one of those things that I think you should just buy.
Yeah, they come up on Bake Off a lot, don't they? Things like that. Was it just on this last week? I haven't watched it, but I feel like it was pudding week or dessert week.
Yeah, I haven't really watched it since the Mexican week that has caused all the uproar.
Yeah. Also, on puddings, just to skip over the Mexican week thing, I do always love reading tweets and like funny things about how when Americans particularly are watching the Great British Bake Off, they're like, what is a pudding and what is a dessert?
Yes.
And we're sorry about that. A pudding is a dessert.
Yes.
It's another word that we use for dessert, but it's also a type of pudding. Dessert.
Yeah. Which, dessert. I mean, they have pudding as well, which is like a soft thing, right?
Yeah,
like a soft sweet thing almost. I always think of it as like maybe like a Rolo yogurt thing, you know, those things that you get in the fridge
specifically.
Yeah it's kind of like a unique texture, isn't it? It's quite, yes, like, it's a bit like thicker,
almost like a creme caramel or something.
Yeah,
yeah, but more liquid. Ooh.
Sorry, Doug is making lots of appearances
Doug
to Vic earlier.
Loves a pudding.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, sorry about that.
We digress again.
And I feel like despite the fact that we don't know much about her personally, which again is fine, I feel like she and these books, these like particularly these roasting tin books, are like food powerhouses, right?
Yes.
Since they started coming out. And so this is how she like rose to fame, is these like roasting tins. So she had a first book called The Roasting Tin, which was literally like a whole book full of £1 meals. And maybe this is what sparked, there's a world of £1 books now.
Yeah.
And I think that she kicked that off, and that's like amazing.
Yeah, when I think about that, I think that that's everything that we ask for in a book a lot of the time. I mean, specifically like you and me, we hate washing. We don't want to do loads of washing up, use loads of dishes. We talk about, we bitch about not having enough time to do stuff, or if there's like a million steps to reveal. So I feel like these books should really speak to our heart as lazy gals.
And I think that, I think I said this on the last podcast, but I feel like they're really good gifts for people. And I think that I don't know anyone, pretty much, who, even if they're not into food, doesn't have one of these books, that the roasting tin books at home, because they're just so accessible.
Yes.
Because everyone's got a pan, which I think is great. So there's five. So she's got, I think she's got 7 books total.
Wow. And a law career. What are we doing?
And I know. What are we doing with our lives? Drinking too much pumpkin spice lattes on my part. And
champagne on mine, clearly.
Pumpkin spice champagne. Oh, my God. The cocktail.
A Kir Royale, but make it pumpkin. Gross.
There was a year for Thanksgiving in somewhere in London that was doing pumpkin spice espresso martinis.
That is smart, though, isn't it?
I would drink a million of them.
I don't know. You'd probably drink half and, like, be on such a sugar high.
Which is how I feel about espresso martinis generally. Like, I feel like they're, stupid.
Oh.
Because do you want coffee? They're delicious.
Yeah.
But do you want coffee or do you want booze? Like, I feel like
both.
My friend Asha took me to an espresso martini festival once. And, RIP my heart rate, you know?
Big question. Are you a bean cruncher? Do you crunch the little...
Excuse me. No, accountancy is not my strong
I crunch the beans.
I feel like I do crunch the beans, but I feel like...
Is that bad?
No. They're a thing, right? You get chocolate-covered coffee beans everywhere. Literally not everywhere. Like in like Hotel Chocolat and fancy chocolate places, probably couldn't find them in Tesco.
You know, average snack.
We're really digressing today.
It's so fun. I like it. I don't care. I'm not going to apologize.
No. So here's the five.
How do you feel about Donald Trump?
Oh, we're talking about Donald Trump, even though our own government is collapsing again. A timeless podcast, everyone. This is timeless. You could be playing it.
Yeah. The year is 2035. The UK government sucks. Anyway.
Here's the five roasting tin ones.
Yeah.
They're all £1 ones. The roasting tin.
Mm-hmm. That's one.
That's one. The green roasting tin. That's veggie.
Oh, nice.
The quick roasting tin, which is what I'll be talking about today.
That's fast.
30-minute £1 dish is... Roasting tin around the world.
That's global.
That's and sweet roasting tin.
That's dessert.
That's puddings. And then she has the green barbecue. Genius.
As in vegetarian barbecue.
Yes, very vegetarian genius. Recipes for a barbecue, because...
There's more to life than veggie skewers.
Yeah, shitty burgers that take 4 million years to cook and they'll still be burnt on the outside and cold on the inside.
Oh, I would like that, actually. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I think that's genius. I feel like that didn't get enough hype.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be specific for that egg thing, you know. Egg barbecue.
No. You can only use it if you've got a little green egg.
A mini green egg.
There is a mini green egg. And Then India Express, which is her most recent book, which you will be talking about. You. We all have. I also have it, just to, I guess we should say that now. I also have India Express, and thank you to Rukmini's team who sent us both a copy of India Express.
Post me accosting her in the park.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, Rukmini. You know, everyone, just accosting people, and they're like, okay, you can have a book. Go away.
Look, it's just my Irish charm, okay? People just give me things, you know? What can I say? I like free things.
You do have Irish charm.
I don't really, though. Not anymore. It's
you
lost.
Do.
It's gone. It's lost. I died with the hangover.
Yeah, and I feel like, yeah, like I said, they're so popular. She also writes for various, you know, publications, particularly around a book coming out. You'll see lots of her recipes online. Never the one I want, which is always, which I'll come to you later. Which is good, which is clever, frankly.
Yeah, of course.
And she's just brilliant. It's all very colourful, very accessible. And I think there's a kind of Twitter hashtag. It's not kind of, it is a Twitter hashtag. Hashtag Tin Lads.
And no.
Yes, I don't want to credit the wrong person for this, but I believe Alice Slater of book podcasting and author may have started that hashtag, and now it's like massive, and that's her fans, you know. Gaga has monsters,
like our circlets.
Yeah, we have circlets. Rukmini has hashtag tin lads,
which I mean, I feel like if you were to ever have your own like fan hashtag, it would be some Vic Lads or something, because you like the word lads too. You and Stephen both.
We do.
You like a lad. We like a lad.
We see lad as a gender neutral term, by the way, just to say.
Sure.
And I think it is. So.
Yeah.
And also, well, we're not talking about
In Ireland, it is.
Yeah. And also not talking about the pioneer woman's husband, who is also called lad.
Is the pioneer woman of Chesapeake Shore is where we're really good.
Look, I love all that shit.
I know. It's so at odds with your, you know, the cynical personality that I know and love with you. It's where you go, you have a warm and fuzzy spot that is...
in the countryside, you know, which I would never, ever go American to stuff. Or live in. I'm an urban gal. Urban lads.
There's your hashtag, urban gals.
Yeah, so I feel like that also really boosted it. And you can still, like, people, yeah, use tin lads all the time. And it's a really useful tool tin for lad. Her PR as well.
I too am a tin lad.
And I just think, you know, they're good. They're great books. Shout out to the tin lads. Shout out to her. And they're popular. So that's Rukmini and her empire of books. They've sold over 1.5 million copies worldwide to date.
Wow. That's cool.
And that's before this, I guess that's before this last book came out, based on the information that I had. So yeah, she has a cute dog, right? As you know, because you've met them.
Yes, apparently called Pepper.
That
information is public and not gleaned through me being a massive weirdo. Nice.
She also has a baby who I think is not dissimilar age to mine, slightly younger, maybe slightly older. Called Alma, little girl, I think.
Alma, that's cute.
Yeah, it is cute. So just to recap, I will be talking about the quick roasting tin, which I have had for a while, for many years actually.
And I will be talking about India Express, which is the latest one. Fresh and delicious recipes for every day.
Love that. Not a £1 book, just to reiterate.
Not a £1.
But there is a £1 chapter, right?
There is, and there's a lot of one. Yeah, I think, you know, the £1 ethos lives on, even if it's not in the title. At most two. No, I don't know that.
I wonder if she is sick of that. I wonder if she feels like she's pigeonholed herself into £1 cooking, and she would like to. But then she's got two books that aren't £1 cooking, so maybe I should shut my mouth.
Yeah, she's diversified, hasn't she, with this. Be funny if you went into her kitchen and she literally just did have £1.
She's a food stylist though, so I imagine she has lots of plans and pans. Plans and pans. The Hannah Quinn story, let me tell you. She's so busy all the time.
Who?
You.
Me? I'm not.
We've been trying to record this podcast for like a week and a half. But Hannah is so busy.
I mean, it's because work is picked up now. Before I was just like farting around. Now, like, my hectic social life and a hectic work life means, you know, makes Hannah have a breakdown. No, I'm fine. Anyway, let's talk about your
tin. Let's talk about my work. So the quick roasting tin. So the idea is all under 30 minutes.
It's quick.
30 minutes. 10 minutes prep, 30 minutes in the oven max, or less. That's her whole thing. She talks about in the intro about how she is a food stylist. And so she's on these like fancy cookbook or whatever styling for like these Michelin star chefs that are all doing like, you know, reductions and, you know, she's having to cook all this stuff. So she wants to get home and just like not deal with all, you know, all that stuff.
Jazz, yeah.
So that's, and she says in this book at least that it's one of her favorites so far of the roasting tin because it's just so easy, accessible. She says that all the ingredients that you'll find in this book you're able to find in a big supermarket. There's nothing out of the ordinary. So it's not, but it's not basic. Like there is some nice ingredients and some.
Not you know, like us.
Yeah, not like me. There's no pumpkin spice in here, rude. but yeah, it's not. It's, you know, it's very flavorful. There's some interesting ingredients in there, but just not, you know, you're not gonna have to trek around to find them. It's split into occasion. That's how the chapters are.
Okay.
Rather than anything else. So working, like work night meals, family favorites, make ahead lunch boxes.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Date night.
Ooh.
Feed a crowd, weekend cooks, and sweets.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It's
all bases covered.
All bases covered.
And that's just the date night chapter. Oh, come on. That's a great joke.
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't give you the laugh you desired.
Sorry.
No, it was a good joke.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good. It's it's 3/4 of the recipes are vegetarian, and she says, or vegan, and she says that the other ones, a lot of them are just the meat part of it. It's like bacon or chorizo or something that you could very easily replace with a different cheese or one of the recipes that I made, she talks about swapping the bacon out for artichokes, which obviously going nowhere fucking near.
That is a throwback to season one, my friends. If you haven't listened, try the Jamie Oliver episode.
Well, don't. Yeah. So that's it. Shall I tell you what I cook?
Nice. Yeah, yes, please.
Shall I or not? So I cook 2 things, but like I said, I've had this book for a while, so there is other things that I'm going to mention later on because there's one other particular recipe that we cook all the time from this and it's like a staple in the house and we love it. Right, so I made 2 things. They're both from the family favorites section.
You're a family now.
I'm a family. And actually, so the first one, all-in-one Nigella spiced whole tomato dal.
Wow.
Here's a picture. And you, I know you can't see that if you're listening, but nice. Doesn't it look lovely?
It's nice. Yeah.
Mine did not look like that at the end.
Oh dear.
Yeah. It wasn't a disaster. We're not talking like, you know, artichoke Jamie Oliver level disaster here, but so I love a dal. Everyone loves a dal. Yeah. I do. And so I made this without, so she says the salt in it is optional and I was like, I'm gonna make it without the salt so I can share it with Marcus, who is eating more now. And I thought he'd really like that because lentils are a good food for babies. They got all the good stuff in. And it was easy and quick. Obviously I didn't need to say that because it's a book about being easy and quick. So it's cherry tomatoes on the vine, which she loves in this book, and I'd like to know why. She never really explains. You cook them in the thing on the vine, then take the vines out for eating. And Yeah, I don't know if that's...
I guess they're just...
Yeah.
Is it a universal truth that they are, you know, they just taste a bit better on the vine? I don't know. Yeah. Because now you mention it, it's the same with one of my recipes, but I didn't actually buy vine ones in the end. I just bought...
Yeah, I wonder if it's like a quality thing or, you know, a consistency. I don't know, but...
Heard it on the grapevine. Da, 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 da. How much longer could you be?
No?
No, I'm actually quite impressed with that.
I used to be in a church choir, but that's a story for another day.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, oven on to 200. You put the cherry tomatoes on their vines into a casserole dish. It needs a lid. This is one that needs a lid. With lentils, nigella seeds, and then put like boiling water over it to start cooking the lentils, and then you chop an onion and you mix the onion with cumin, coriander and oil, and then you put that over. I'm doing a little scatter thing with my hand.
Salt-based scatter,
nice. Salt-based scatter. And that's it. And then you put the lid on, put it in the oven for 30 minutes. Take the vines out of the tomatoes, give it a good whisk. Lemon juice, and you can add extra salt to taste, and that is it.
Job's a good one.
She says you could add some coconut cream or something to make it a bit more rich if you like that. Or I guess butter you could add like a Dal Makhani kind of thing. For some reason mine came out a lot watery. Maybe it was my tomatoes, maybe it was something. It was a lot waterier than hers, and looked, and the color was a lot different, and I was like, oh, have I missed like a turmeric or something,
right, based on the picture.
But it wasn't bad. It was, well, it didn't have any salt in it, so what it was. But I added salt to mine, and Marcus tried some. And yeah, it was good. I added some yogurt to his, just to like, the flavors obviously are quite strong. But it was good. It just was a bit more watery than I would like for a dal, a bit more like a soupy consistency. And I probably, if I'd had any, would have put some coconut cream or something through it just to add that like nice richness.
There's some, tomatoes can be, when they're kind of, I don't know, providing like the water content in something, they can be a bit fickle, can't they? I remember I made something for Nigel Slater's episode that had tomato. It was a tomato curry.
Yes.
And it didn't go to plan either. I feel like, because there's just such variation in them, right? And you know, I don't know if we've ever said this before, but we like a ripe tomato, and so like, you know, the season for that is what, like a fucking month in the UK?
Exactly.
So it's just like, and it's a bit of a fickle one.
Yeah, exactly. And it depends on, I guess, the size of your cherry tomatoes and all that stuff. So
I was just a bit
disappointed in the consistency, but the taste was really nice. And she talks about how it'll thicken as it cools down, which it did a bit. And because I had it in the fridge, it tastes better the next day, which, you know, anything with those kind of spices always does. And it was nice. So I added yogurt for Marcus the first day and he liked it, and then I added some sweet potato the second day, like mashed up sweet potato, and mixed it in with to make it just a bit of a thicker consistency, easier for him to eat and not spill all over the floor.
Was he a fan?
He liked it. He did. I think that again, the tomatoes kind of whole but squished, because how they get if they're roasted like is a bit difficult. It's not a weaning podcast, but anyway, she says to serve it with flatbreads or basmati rice. How do you feel about dal and rice?
I don't really subscribe to that. It just feels like everything's, you know, it's little bitty things with little bitty things.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, it's obviously a lot of different nations do eat kind of lentil-based stews and rice. I mean, I totally get it. And it's very healthy. But yeah, for me, it's just all a bit small.
Yes.
Oh, and I put the bishy thing on some bread.
And I just think it's too... Yeah, I don't know. I would go bread. Flatbread as well. Should I tell you about the next thing I cooked?
Yes, please.
Okay. this was roasted broccoli and bacon.
Oh.
Please hold. Conchiglie.
Oh.
That's shell pasta. Roasted broccoli and bacon conchiglie bake with lemon creme fraiche.
Nice.
Yes. So shell pasta is what conchiglie is. And yes, Hannah and I spent at least 3 minutes before this episode started with me saying, how do you say that word?
I always thought it was conchiglie. Conchiglie.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, Italians, if we're saying it wrong.
Conchiglie.
This was fun and good. I was into
fun
it.
Fun and good.
Fun and good. So it is 300 grams of conchiglie or other favorite pasta shape. I had shells, so we did shells.
What's your favorite? We've done this before, haven't we?
We've done this before. It's rigatoni.
Rigatoni, yeah. Okay.
What's yours?
I think mine is rigatoni too. Oh, pappardelle, I'm also a big fan of. Now I don't know if any of these, if I'm saying any of these correctly at all. My core has been shaken by this conchiglie revelation.
Maybe we need to move to Italy. No, I don't want to move to Italy. I want to move
to
Italy.
It's so expensive.
I'm just going to move to Liverpool Street.
No.
So, pasta, a large head of broccoli chopped into small bits, 160 grams of bacon lardons, which she says you can substitute with artichokes, thyme, olive oil, 400 grams of creme fraiche.
Wow.
Spinach, lemon, parm, panko, breadcrumbs. So you cook the pasta first,
yeah,
till it's pretty much done, and you put oil, broccoli, and bacon into your tin that you're gonna bake it in, and put that in the oven and roast it for like 10 minutes.
Oh,
or
okay,
so.
Nice.
Yeah, rather than like frying it, and then you put the pasta into the broccoli thing when that's cooked, put some more oil, all of that creme fraiche, lemon juice and sea salt, and like mix it up.
Right, okay, yeah.
So creme fraiche is your liquid.
Yeah, so is it a bit like a kind of almost like a bechamel, is it meant to be like a bechamel kind of vibe?
Yeah, like a mac and cheesy, like, but it's like lemony, and then parmesan and breadcrumbs on top.
Nice.
In the oven for 20 minutes until the top is brown and crunchy, and boom.
That's it.
It's nice. We really enjoyed it. I think a bit too much parmesan for me, but there always is too much parmesan for me. So, but you could use any cheese on top to just get that crispy top with panko. And a good way to like get a load of broccoli into
your life.
You and your kids if you've got them. I thought actually that Marcus could have eaten this maybe without the bacon and the palm, but this is irrelevant. But I did notice this about this book when I was looking at it with, you know, my mom eyes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in here where she's like salt optional or this optional. So you could make it for your young children.
Yeah, that's great. Which
I think it is good.
There's no better alignment than being, you know, time poor on weeknights and having children, right? So that makes sense.
Right. It's really good. I would definitely make it again. You know, my husband enjoyed it. It was really, really easy. All you've got to do is basically chop some broccoli.
Oh, great. Love that.
Yeah. And, you know, you can use any pasta. That's great. Absolutely would make it again. Ate it the next day as well. Thought it was delicious.
Oh, great.
That's also different. Right, quickly before we move on, I'm just going to tell you about the thing that's a staple in this house. It's from the weekend cooking section. I'm trying to find it. It's one pot peanut chili chicken with tomato rice.
Oh shit, it's got peanut, therefore I love it.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have called my dog Peanut. No.
That is a good name for a dog.
It is, anyway. I'll wait for the next one. Or I'll just wait to have a child.
And call it Peanut?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Peanut Quinn.
Peanut Butter Quinn. And I'm probably not going to have a picture of this to share, but I'm just going to tell you about it. So it's similar to the lentil thing, actually. It's like rice.
Yeah.
Tomatoes on the vine.
Yeah.
Chicken stock. Ooh. Ding, ding, ding. Victoria's favourite chickeny rice. That goes in the pan. Then you lay boneless chicken thighs on top.
Right.
And then you make this like paste out of peanut butter, chili, sesame oil, soy sauce, and lime. Yes. And you kind of spread that over the top of the chicken.
I just love any sauces like that, that just, or dressings for noodles or stuff like that. Ah, yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. And shove that in the oven till the rice is like cooked. Mm. You know, the chicken cooks on top of the rice. It's lovely. It goes in the oven, I guess, for 30 minutes. And then she's got like a dressing, soy, lime and sesame oil, which you like drizzle over the top when it comes out of the oven.
Nice.
You fluff it all up, take the vines out of the tomatoes. And she says you can put like peanuts and spring onions on the top.
Great.
And it's great. We eat it all the time. It's perfect. It tastes amazing the next day.
Even though it's a weekend one, it's still not that labor intensive, right?
No, I think the reason it's like a weekend one is that because it's got like the soy and you have to like make the sauce, but that just, you just mix it up in a ramekin. It takes 2 seconds.
Great.
And I don't think we hardly ever put like the little dressing on just because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
And it tastes absolutely brilliant without it. And that's me on the quick roasting tin.
Nice.
Good. Really good. Love that peanut thing. Was going to make that for this but I thought that's a cop-out. I should make something else.
Yeah, and try it.
I've made other things from there. There's like a ham hock gnocchi made as well that was nice. Loves a gnocchi.
Really?
I guess that's probably not in the India one, but because you don't have any of these books, right?
No, apart from the India this one. Is my first Rukmini venture.
She loves a gnocchi in like a lot of the stuff I see, like a baked gnocchi with stuff, which is great because it's like filling, obviously you're not making the gnocchi and you can add whatever flavors you want to it.
Speaking of gnocchi, I went back to Easter Belfridge's mezcla and made the miso butternut gnocchi dish.
You did the miso butter butternut butter bean gnocchi
on my birthday, actually, for me and my friend Simon. And it was it's like no surprise, it was delicious. But I do really like frying gnocchi more when you get the crunchy bits, which I think you do in that, but maybe I hadn't done it enough. Anyway, all that to say, mezcla's great.
All that to say, we're texture queens. She loves gnocchi. Tell us about India Express.
India Express. And what you cooked. So this book is all about, she talks at the start about how, you know, her parents, her mom was a GP and she was still able to put like a load of great Indian vegetarian meals on the table when they were growing up, and that like that's kind of what she's channeling in this book. So again, it's like a weeknight book, and there's lots of one tin stuff and one pan stuff as well. She has a weekend projects chapter too. She starts off with snacks, she has brunch, a rice chapter, one tin, one pan. Then she talks about, she has South Indian stuff, Bengali, again, weekend projects, sweet and drinks. And then she pulls them together in some menus at the back, which is nice.
Oh, that is good.
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
She talks a bit about train journeys in India, which just sound, you know, amazing. And she, her dad used to get the 36-hour train from Tamil Nadu to West Bengal. Bengal, sorry, I'm kind of butchering, you know, place names with my Galway accent. And then so it's cute. She talks about her mum and dad's first train journey together because this new service had started. And it was unusual for them to travel together unmarried in the 70s. But I think he was taking her to his mum's house and to eat his mum's amazing food. But it's cute at the bottom of that. She says, if you were to pick recipes from this book for your own train picnic, I'd suggest the following. And has like, you know, in a thermos, bring the classic condensed milk or hot chocolate chai. And then a snack and lunch and sweet snacks. I just thought that was lovely touch.
Who doesn't love a train picnic?
Oh, I love a train. And she's got a really nice kind of photo at this beginning of a recipe that someone's written to them for Vadas, which is just, I like it a lot. I love Indian food anyway, you know, as broad a term as that is. And it's just obviously fantastic for vegetarians and vegans. And this is mostly
the best vegetarian cuisine, in my opinion, as a non-vegetarian person.
I would agree with that. I would,
which is what agree. Which what the definition of a non-vegetarian person is.
But she has notes on how to make the veggie stuff vegan. She does have some fish in here because she says it's like it would be remiss to talk about Bengali food without including some fish, some of which look really nice. There's one that's like fish with yogurt and turmeric that looks really beautiful. And she has some kind of prawn, what are they called again, popcorn shrimp, that look really good. So yeah, I was particularly, you know, I love a Indian bread as well. So there's like, she has chili and cheese parathas in here that I was nearly going to make. Again, she says this is like a more everyday version of parathas and that they're pretty low hassle to whip up. So I'm definitely going to make them. She also has naan pizzas, which I think are great. You buy the mini, you buy the mini naans from the shop, and then you just top them with like roasted tomatoes and lime and coriander paneer.
Oh, that sounds great.
Good stuff in here. There's a lot of paneer, and she actually has a little bit on making your own paneer. But you know, obviously, I've done that before, so I don't know.
You don't need to read that recipe, right?
Right.
So it's fine. How about pumpkin spice paneer?
Yeah, that I could get on board with because at least it's not sweet. Oh, don't stop licking me. sorry. So, what I made. Yes. I made two things as well. Mm-hmm. The first thing I made, I was feeling like it was the start of the week. I wanted something kind of veggie heavy and like that I could take for lunch into the office the next day. And this ticked the box. So this was the spiced roasted paneer with tomatoes and peppers.
That sounds great.
Which is just a one tin dish. She says you can serve it with rice and dal or flatbreads. Yeah, you can use bought paneer. Obviously, you don't have to buy it. My one big great takeaway from this recipe is this tip that she has where you soak the paneer in boiling water for 10 minutes before you cook it. And she says that it's a tip from her fellow food writer, Rupa Gulati. And that it just really improves the texture, and it really does, because I think paneer can go a little bit like halloumi, where it's a bit like too chewy or like hard, and this was just like perfectly soft because you're roasting it. So I thought it would be dry, but no, it was a revelation. So it's very easy. You put your oven on, you cut the paneer into squares, and then you have them so they're in triangles, and you have them again, so you've like 20, basically like 24 triangles, and you soak that in the boiling water, like I said, and then you pat it dry, and you put that in a big roasting tin with sliced peppers, tomatoes on the vine, a red onion, a red chili, some grated ginger and grated garlic. And that's it. You mix all that together with oil, spice. The spices are cumin, coriander, fennel seeds, turmeric. And then you just kind of fish the paneer bits out so that they're sitting on top, so that because that helps them crisp up. And then you put that in the oven for half an hour. And that's it. Say two.
Boom. And my God, it could be in my book.
Yes, it was really good. So I ate some of it then, like I said, and it was, they're just the, you know, that's the night a really nice spice blend, right? Cumin, coriander, fennel seeds, turmeric. And it felt quite like, you know, like I said, quite like healthy and just a really good weeknight dinner. And then I just kept some of it back and brought it in for lunch the next day. Made the rookie mistake though of, because I'm a scatty, you know, bit of a scrappy, scatty gal. And I put
scrappy lads, that would be your hashtag.
I'm just so scrappy. If there's anything in life, I wish it was that I was less scrappy. And I just put it in a lunchbox and put it in my bag with all my shit to go to the office. And of course, there was like a minor leak because I'm a scrappy little shit. So my whole like bag smelt like cumin and coriander and fennel seeds.
Just like wafting your way through the office.
Oh my God. Yeah,
it's the cumin girl.
My laptop charger had gotten some of that. Oh God, why am I like this? But you know, it made me really look forward to lunch that day.
Yeah, just like smelling, like doing your typing, and it's all like seeping through your little keys.
But it was great. And what I like, there's a lot, you know, because you slice the paneer up like into triangles, lots of little triangles, there's the ratio is right of paneer to tomatoes and peppers. So I just thought that was great. It was a really nice thing. And
yeah, I feel like triangles is a good shout on Pinia, because sometimes it's too big, right?
Yeah.
It's big. Cubes are too big, and I feel like it feels very separate from whatever you're eating it with.
Yeah.
Whereas,
do you know what my?
Yeah, that sounds great.
One of my many pet peeves is halloumi in little cubes. I hate it. Why? Or like if you were to like grate halloumi or something. As far as I'm concerned, halloumi should only be sliced.
Okay.
Into flat little horizontal slices or whatever. I just cubed halloumi makes me really angry.
I feel like grating halloumi goes in various like Greek cooking, right?
Yeah.
Like breads and stuff.
That's okay, but, maybe.
But yeah, like, I feel like cubes, because the whole, in my opinion, the whole point of halloumi is that you got, there's like crispy on the outside,
yes,
gooey on the inside.
Exactly.
And like, I don't need to be turning cubes over. This is why I would never make it as a chef. Like, I'm not going to turn cubes over till every side is perfectly browned or whatever. No.
With your tweezers. No. When I worked in the cafe and I had to help out on breakfast shifts, my only ever job on the line was to make toast and cook halloumi. And boy, was
I... it's hard to cook halloumi. Anyway.
Yeah. Hot pan. Tiny bit of oil is my hot tip. Literally, like, no tie on each side. Anyway, so that was great. That was a good one. And then the second thing that I made just this morning, because again, see previous reference of being a scrappy gal, was the quick cook.
Quick cook.
I said quick cook. Quick cook masala uttapam. I hope I'm saying that right. Which is basically just like a little pancake topped with tomatoes,
perfect breakfast food,
red onion, and something else that I forget. Chilies. Yeah, I was intrigued by this because the batter, the kind of so-called pancake batter, is semolina, yogurt, water, ginger grated in, and then sea salt. And you whisk that all together and you let it sit for like half an hour. And I think it thickened a bit over that time, but it felt a bit watery before, but then it seemed to be fine. And then you literally just, while you're waiting for that to kind of rest and do its thing, you slice up your chilies, green chilies, half a red onion, 10 cherry tomatoes, which I now see were meant to be quartered, but I definitely just halved mine. Did some selective reading there. And then you heat up a pan and put a little bit of oil in, and you just spoon the batter in. She says a tablespoon or a tablespoon and a half, and she says she can fit four in her pan at a time. Again, I think, you know, her sizings and her instructions are quite clear. I feel like the testing is good and they're quite specific. So you spoon in the batter and then you sprinkle over the topping onto each pancake. You fry it on a medium heat for 1 to 2 minutes until the top starts to look set, and then you flip it over. So the base should be crisp and golden brown, and that bit's plain. But then you flip it over onto the toppings.
Oh, like a little burger.
Yeah, so the toppings then get nice and cooked, but like not, you know, in a quite quick way. So it still tastes quite fresh. So then, yeah, the toppings is your tomatoes and red onion and chili just get cooked a little bit on the base. And that goes a little bit golden too around the edges mostly, because it's kind of hard for it all to fit, like flush on top of the pan. And then that's it. So you just like serve them. She says to serve them with yogurt on the side, which I did. Or she suggests this coriander chutney. I didn't expect them to be as nice as they were. I was pleasantly surprised. They were, I think that combination of red onion, you know, brings a lot of flavour anyway. But like the red onion and tomato and chilli, they were really good.
Yeah, they sound great.
Yeah.
Like a nice little hors d'oeuvre, breakfast,
yes,
snack.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably, if you wanted to go all out, like have them with like a poached egg or something and have it, you know, make it really brunchy. But like, I thought they were great on their own. And you could probably play around with that batter a little bit and maybe add some more spices or... But yeah, the semolina made it a really nice texture. I've got four of them sitting out there on the kitchen counter now and I'm like, oh,
I want one. I wish it was still there. I feel like I want a little...
It was a little nibbly. Yeah, so it's just like pancake... but savoury and quick and delicious. Really, really like them, actually. We'd definitely make them again. So I was pleasantly surprised.
I feel like that'd be a good thing to, like, you make, like you say, you've got them sitting outside, you make them first thing in the morning, yeah. which is now, but you've got them then all day to like snack on and just have in the fridge.
Yes. To add to the body that has seen more carbohydrates in the last 24 hours than its lifetime.
I'm jealous.
It's great. There's loads of other things that
McDonald's McDonald's forgot my chips. Just saying, everyone. Just reminding everyone that McDonald's forgot our chips. And so, do better, McDonald's.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm fine.
Clearly. There was lots that I wanted to make though as well. There was a malai kofta. Mm. I'm a big fan of malai kofta. There was cheese stuffed potato cakes, which are obviously right up my street. Those chili and cheese naans that I talked about, or the parathas that I talked about before. There's baby aubergines with yogurt and nigella seeds. There is a lot. There's five spice roasted squash with carrots and pumpkin seeds. That's your PSL, bitch.
There's your pumpkin
bitch.
Spice. I loved in this book, or like I haven't cooked or anything from it, but all of the, she's got like a snack chapter, right?
Yes.
And it's got like little charts.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, Bengali popcorn shrimp.
Charts.
Cheddar, cumin and nigella seed straws, like pakoras, popcorn.
Shall we rate?
Let's. Do that. This is making me hungry. Spiced potato cakes with fried egg.
We like to
what are we
going to
rate out of? Let's talk about our rating
system.
The coffee's kicking in, love.
Yeah, Vic's coming alive. An hour and 12 minutes into the record. We are, yes.
As I often do.
As we do.
The end of the tunnel is here.
Lovely.
I'm joking. I love it.
Yes. So every episode, we like to rate the book that we are talking about.
We like to.
We don't like to, actually. Do you like the rating part or do you find it tough?
No, I never find it tough.
No, sometimes it's tough.
Well, I sometimes find it tough. In our business meetings here. What do you think, dear listener? Do you like the rating or do you think we should scrap it? How many ratings out of rating would you out of five would you give our rating system?
Yeah, feel free to let us know. So we rate out of five criteria, and they are usability and accessibility. That's one. We rate out of ingredients used, how easy are they to find. We rate out of aesthetics, veggie friendliness, and lastly, inspirability. And for each chef or book, we change the rate, what we rate out of. You know, just to keep you on your toes, but it might be something that has come up again and again. And for Rook Mini, these two books, India Express and the Quick Roasting Tin, we're going to rate out of, we could have rated out of Cherry Tomatoes on the Vine in retrospect.
Yeah, we could have,
but that didn't come out till later. But we think it would be just doing a disservice to Rook Mini if we didn't rate out of one tin. How's your one tin?
I need a one tin.
We only got one tin.
Oh, that's what I should have gone for, a bit of blue. One tin
for the oven light. So, Vic, how many one tins are you giving the Quick Roasting Tin?
You're right.
No, I need more coffee.
Yes, okay, so usability and accessibility, that's one. I'm giving it one.
One tin.
Because it is in one. One tin.
Usability, accessibility. That's one. You're giving it one tin.
One tin for one, number one, rating one. Ingredients used. That's another one tin.
Yeah, great.
Because she says herself, it comes out of, it's all, you can get it all in a big supermarket.
Comes out of.
She said herself. It comes out of. I'm really doing well, lads. For 10 months, probably, and it's really catching up with me. Also, I didn't say this before, but I want to say it now. Just because it's like all, you know, accessible food and available in the supermarket, what I don't think that means is it's not cheap eats. There's a lot of like nice ingredients in there. There's, like, she's got like a scallop recipe,
oh, yeah.
You know, the scallops and other like nice, you know, and she's got date night, which has like a roasted rack of lamb.
Yeah. For you to eat by the book.
That's how it was served.
I'm having the best time.
I'm leaving this call.
Sorry.
Yes, so it's not Cheap Eats, so there is some fancy bits in there, and I feel like I would be doing her a disservice if you thought that it was all just, you know, boring.
Yeah.
Not that cheap things are boring. Anyway, so usability and accessibility, one. Ingredients, one. Veggie-friendly, yes, one more tin for that, because three-quarters of it is veggie, and you can make the rest of it veggie if you wanted to. Aesthetics, yeah, pretty much everyone. I think everything in there has a picture, and it's all very like uniform, and so it gets one for that. And then inspirability, I'm not giving it a tin for inspirability, because it's a good book, and it's good for, like, you know, the things I know that are good in there. But flicking through it again, I struggled to find stuff I wanted to cook.
Right.
Out of that one. Maybe it's because I've had it for too long and I've already looked through it so many times.
Yes.
Like, maybe I would feel differently. I definitely feel differently about the India Express one, because, you know, hearing you talk about it and looking through it, it's so beautiful and I'm excited about it. But I feel like for that one specifically, it might be because I've had it a long time and I've cooked ready from it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like excited to cook more stuff from it.
Yeah.
But I think what I have cooked from it is very good.
Yeah.
And it's I know that anything I cook would be, I'm not going to F it up.
You
know? Like, it's like you said, it's very well researched, very well tested. It's, you're going to do all right.
Yeah.
But just, there's nowhere else I could go with it. Okay. I've done what I want to do from
the
there.
End of the road. It's not you. So it's actually the book. It's not you, it's me.
it's not Rook Mini, it's me. It's not the quick roasting tin. But I would like to try the other roasting tin books, and I have never done that. Anyway, so it's 4 1-pans out of 5 for me. So that 4 tins? I don't know. 4 1-tins out of 5.
4 1-1.
How about you?
What's the 4 1-1? So, usability and accessibility, that's definitely 1 1-tin, because it's the whole basis of it is express and easy. Ingredients used, yes, that's 2 1-tins, because they're 1 1-tin each. 1 plus 1 1-tin plus 1 tin equals 2 tins.
2 1-tins.
2 1-tins. Everything was easy to find, and even the spices are never like mad spices that you wouldn't be able to find, like crazy shit. So that's that. Aesthetics, yes, it's very pretty and colorful, lots of lovely like Indian inspired prints.
Yes,
and she kind of has this style in her photos of it's always like an overhead shot of the dish or of the pan, but then it's usually on like half one pattern, half another pattern, if that makes sense. Which is really pretty.
She's a food stylist, what can she say?
Yeah, that's true. Come teach me your ways. Veggie friendly, absolutely. It is 100%.
Apart
from the fish, exactly. And like I said, you can have vegan, there's vegan tips on how to remove any animal-y stuff.
What's your number one vegan tip?
don't eat animals. It's just in. And inspirability, I'm going to give it, I'm torn between a half and one. Like, no, I think I'm giving it one, which would make it 5 1-tins. Yeah, I think it deserves one inspirability, because it's, I was excited and there was lots of things that I wanted to make. And I feel like, you know, I'm a big kind of, I like making a batch thing at the start of the week to bring for lunches. And there's lots of stuff in here that, you know, lots of dals and things like that. Sometimes there's something in here about, like, there's a big difference between something like this and mezcal, right? Like, which is a lot of effort, but very exciting in its own way. But you're going to use it like once a month or something, maybe. Whereas this, it mightn't be like, oh my god, like I need to spend all day in the kitchen, it's gonna produce these insane results. It's more just like, you know, your steady guy that you're gonna be picking up for weeknight stuff every week, and that's beautiful in its own right. And I think
who's your favorite go steady guy that you pick up for weeknights?
Mate, Doug, that's it.
But he's also your weekend guy.
Yeah, he's everything. I don't need anyone else. Two dogs in one.
That's supposed to be a good joke, and you really make it earnest. But no, I agree. And I think what we're saying is that this books are absolutely deserved to be the like powerhouse, massive, like they don't miss. Everything is delicious. So much vegetarian stuff. You're not going to be disappointed if someone buys you. Put the Indian one on your Christmas list, frankly, because or any of them that you fancy.
Yeah. The choice is yours. You have free will.
The choice is yours. I bet you'd like to try her sweet one, right?
Yeah, I would. Because, you know, I've said before that Ed Kimber's One Tin Bakes, that's one of my favourites. So I bet hers would be good as well. And also, you know, frankly interested to see what kind of sweet stuff she does that's not kind of Indian inspired, or maybe it is all, but you know, the sweet stuff in here is kind of all, you know, mango stem ginger and lime ice cream, and this kind of like an Indian take on bread and butter pudding, and there's a lassi and salted lassi. So yeah, I'd be interested to see if the category is more broad for the sweet one.
Yeah, like in my one, the quick roasting tin, there's like a coffee and Bailey's cake, caramelized banana and thyme tart tatin.
Oh, great. Love that.
Gingerbread pears. They look nice. There's a giant chocolate cookie.
Oh.
Blackberry and pistachio cake, which I always think looks really nice.
I love blackberries. Oh, wow. That looks great. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it probably is good, the sweet one.
It's good.
It is good.
What book are we going to do next, Victoria?
We are going to
do
Greece.
Take me to Greece, where everyone's on holiday right now and I'm not. I'm in Crystal Palace on my specific address. as if anyone would care. I'd love to think that anyone would actually even fucking care.
People would care.
Thank you.
If only for Doug. The dog snatchers arrive in London. Yes, so we are going to be talking about a book that is written by, I feel like, one of the people we get most excited about when they're on Saturday morning TV here, right?
Yeah.
She's on it a lot, and we're just like, oh, she's on this. It's Georgina Hayden.
Whoop!
And her most recent book is called Nistissima.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I've said that right, Nistissima. And it, she's of Greek Cypriot origin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an entirely vegan cookbook.
Great. I'll be interested to talk about, you know, how her Jamie Oliver relationship sits with you. We'll deep dive on that when we...
She's to do some work for him,
yeah,
she?
I think that's how she started out. All to be revealed when I...
I'll forgive her.
Yeah, I don't have any of her other books, but I remember stealing one of the halloumi and peaches recipes that she has for the barbecue. Yes. Oh, genius.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for this. It looks, having leafed through it, there's some unusual stuff in there that I think will be really interesting.
The za'atar buns have gone a bit viral, haven't they? Like a cinnamon bun.
Ooh, but
with za'atar.
Za'atar. Not the instrument, the sitar.
I'll be playing that though on next week's show next time.
Join us then where we sing blue.
I'll play us out.
Singing blue covers to the sound of the sitar.
Wow, what a niche. I feel like I could make it. Someone get Lee Ryan on the phone.
Thank you for listening. And if you like what we do, and sorry for being really hung up, you know, on day two of this hangover, tell us if it's working for you or not, and we'll either go to AA or go out again in 2 weeks' time. If you like what we do, please support us on...
Well, we've already had someone request that, you know, all of our recording should be with you drinking a gin tin.
No, I was very angry that episode. Nothing to do with the gin tin, but it was just...
Mother's ruin, as they say.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, if you like what we do...
Maybe we should do a drunk history style.
I think we should. I genuinely think we should do that for Patreon. I think it would be really fun.
Anyway, if you like what we do, please continue.
Speaking of Patreon, if you like what we do, please have a look at that and see if you would like to support us.
Yes, please. And thank you to our Patreon subscribers.
Yes. And to you, to everyone, just anyone who's listening and who's still here.
Still listening.
God love you.
I am. No. But if you are, thanks.
And see you next time.
We'll get help. We're sorry. Okay.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and leave us a review as it helps others to find us. You can see how recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye! Bye.